Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino getting you ready for what you're about to hear, the live podcast from Punchline Comedy Club in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, site of this season's live know-it-alls. And I'm very excited for you to hear this show. Just a little bit of a warning before our live shows. We're doing this at a comedy club, a little bit of a different raucous environment. So just a heads up before you go into that. Not everybody he's always talking directly into the microphone, but it's a lot of fun. Hope you enjoy our live show from Punchline. Before we get into the audio recording, and you can watch the video of everything on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube, I want to take a moment and ask you if you know how much money you could be saving on your car insurance when you give our friends over at AIS a call or go over to AISinsurance.com/Rob, because what these insurance companies do when you're not looking, when you're on autopilot, you never want to be on autopilot. You want to be the pilot. You want to go on over to AISinsurance.com/Rob and you want to give them all the information about your car and you as a driver and how much you drive the car. And they are going to shop your rate with the Smart Quote technology to shop dozens of insurance companies in just a few seconds to make sure that you are saving the most amount of money on your car insurance. Why pay extra for car insurance when you could be getting a great company and a better rate than what you're paying now? It's the easiest way that you can save yourself some money by going to AISinsurance.com/Rob and use their Smart Quote technology to save you money on your car insurance. You can call 1-800-777-4AIS. Don't make your next insurance payment until you check your rates with AIS. AISinsurance.com/Rob is the easiest thing that you could do today to save yourself some money on your car insurance.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
1, 2.
Surviving know-it-alls.
Surviving know-it-alls.
Steven and Rob without a doubt got the game all figured out. They know it all.
So beautiful.
Oh.
That was the Wand Off All Stars. Okay, sit wherever you want. Here you go. Oh, how's everybody doing, Philadelphia?
There's always that one podcast that you remember after the season is over.
Yes.
And
yes,
this could be that podcast.
Yes. Watch it, you're pulling the tablecloth down.
Oh, yeah, I need to, you know, compliment.
Come on, how many of these have we done before?
I don't know, never with a tablecloth.
Right. Yeah. Oh, so excited to be here at Punchline Philadelphia. So excited to be here with you, but not a great night for the returning players.
Oh, my God, Returnee-mageddon. Is Wardog mad with power? Like, is that the issue here?
Why do you say mad with power?
Well, we'll get into the specifics of it later, and I hope to disagree with you. But yeah, a sad night. We lost, you know. And before we go into maybe why they lost, let's talk about just like a little tribute.
No, we don't talk about why they lost.
Yeah, other people.
Thank you.
David and Kelly had such an incredible run this season. You know, compared to the much much more terrible run of Joe and Aubrey, it was so great to every week David was dodging and weaving, and then every week Kelly just was holding on to that idol and like maintaining that power position. And the fact that it all you know, crumbled so fast. It's so tragic. I thought that, like, both of them were you know, game end contenders.
Yeah, I wasn't ready for this tonight. I really wasn't.
Yeah.
We came into this, and, you know, sometimes I'm wrong with the stuff. And I thought, okay, well, double episode. We're going to get two.
It's like Aurora and Gavin. Yeah.
With all due respect. Yeah. You know, yeah. And no, we lost our two remaining returning players in one night.
Yeah, it's a real tragedy.
Are you guys okay? Are you guys shook? All right, start the episode again. You can't handle it. All right. Well, we have so much to do tonight, so much to get to. We have so many guests here tonight. I hope you guys hate podcasts with no guests more than Julie hates Aurora.
Oh, wow. That's quite a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot. Okay. All right. Well, let's do this in chronological order, because one thing I think precedes the other. So let's talk about that first tribal council first.
So get the boring stuff out of the way first, the really self-explanatory stuff.
And let's talk about the David Wright boot. And I would love if Jessica Lewis could come up here and help us with talking about this. We have a David Wright expert here.
Oh, my God.
Come on the other, come on the other side. Come on the other side.
Yeah.
Yes, Jessica Lewis, everybody. Okay. She is up here. All right.
I'm up here.
Get on the microphone.
All right. Okay. Hey, everybody.
Hello.
The great Jessica Lewis.
Good evening.
Okay. Jessica, how are you doing tonight?
I am incredibly sad.
Oh.
Yes.
David was one of my obviously favorite players on the show. And I love David for a lot of reasons you all are probably quite aware of. But yeah, I wasn't expecting him
to. Did you know his brand is loyalty?
Yes. That man is loyal. Yeah. I will give him that. Yes, his brand is loyalty.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. He seems so happy to be voted out. I've never seen anybody. He was like so happy to be voted out.
Right.
And usually that we get the person on the edge of extinction being like, dude, I'm at my low.
Right.
But David Wright is like, I'm so happy to be here. This is great. I love
but that's
the
David.
Edge of extinction.
You have to understand, that's David. David plays this game and understands how to use all of the nuances and all of the horrible components of this game and make them work for him.
Yes.
I mean, look at what he's done.
Up to a point. Up to a point.
Up to a point.
Yeah.
Up to a point.
There was only so much mileage on that.
But what did he say about Edge of Extinction? He's going to weasel his way back in. He's going to squirm his way back in. So that's how he's looking at it. This is not a bad thing for David. This is a moment.
It's kind of a bad thing.
I'm just saying, from his perspective, from David's perspective, he's trying to find that silver lining.
Yeah.
And then he can come back to the game.
Yeah. Did you think it was going to be his night tonight?
No.
Did you, when it was going along, did you think that he was going to pull it out one more time?
Yes. I thought he was going to be able to stay here because he got cheated. This is a double boot episode, and David is one half of the double boot episode. I don't like that. I don't like that. He deserves
Wow. I've never heard that before. You get cheated if you get voted out in the double boot episode?
He got cheated. And so did Kelly. I think they both got cheated. They deserve their own episode, their own boot episode.
Yeah. All right. So David Wright, I did feel like that it was turning against him at Tribal Council, where for like the third time in a row, he gave like one of those big speeches. And it just was not, it was not landing this time.
Yeah. When the other contestants start like booing you, that's when you know, that's when you know you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was being, well, once he brought out my trust, my brand is loyalty.
Yeah.
And then, like, oh, come on. Yeah, right, David, whatever. And then everybody was, they were not having it.
Now, did you know that David and Wardog were nemeses? Like, this was new.
That was new.
Yeah.
That was new. We get a lot of the things on Survivor where it gets brought up. This person is the mastermind. This person is my nemesis.
Right.
Now, in that vote in particular, it was Julie and Ron at the center of everything. It was basically that there were the Lesu 3 has sort of brought Gavin in. And then on the other side, it was Devins and David, plus then Aurora and Victoria. And it was Ron and Julie that were the people that were going to ultimately decide it, seemingly. It only ends up being Devins that votes with David on that. Did you feel like, was that an open and shut case?
I think for the other players, it kind of has to be. Because honestly, if David makes it to the end, dude's winning. He's winning. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but he is winning. So from a player perspective, Yes, that was the right call to make. But from a fan perspective, I'm sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm definitely
but
sad.
Steven, this is what I don't get with the show. So we watch everything that happens last week.
Right.
And we're like, all right, here we go. All right, all these people voted together. They voted out Julia. Yeah. This is a big alliance. And then the next episode starts, and it's like, no, there's a new alliance of six. And it's War Dog, Kelly, and Lauren, Ron, Julie, and Gavin.
That's right.
Wait, what, did I miss an episode of the show? Wasn't the whole last episode about Rick Devins and David, where they're the pilots.
Yeah.
They made the new alliance.
But that's it. It really is the tall poppy syndrome. And I think that like every episode we've seen, like the person who really sticks their head out kind of, you know, is the one that's the next one that's chopped. You know, we saw it starting with Joe, then you had Eric, then Julia, and now David, you know, and David and Devins were the next target.
Why? What's the common denominator? Anybody that does anything?
Yeah, I think that's
what
right.
Did Joe
anybody
do?
That does anything.
If you play the game, you get voted out.
What a joke. Haven't you looked at? I mean, he just like exists like that itself. He like it's like a taller poppy than the rest of us.
Yeah. So just by being out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Well, is this the right move? Yeah. So you're saying this is the right move for Ron and Julie? Like, what is the? Because theoretically, right? You look at this position that they're putting themselves in. In the best case scenario, which we already know doesn't happen, that six goes to the final six together. That's what they're saying at the start of the episode. This is the six. We're going to do this. You know, we'll fight it out at the final six. You've got the three lessers there. You got Ron and Julie and Gavin, who's, you know, doesn't have loyalty to any of them.
Yeah.
Is this a bad choice for Ron and Julie to kind of put their, you know, connect themselves to at that point, you know, before the rest of the episode happens?
I think if you have one of these returning players on the chopping block and you have the opportunity to get one of them out, you got to get them out at some point.
Yeah.
So for Ron and Julie, I think this was fine. It seemed like that once they got on board, Victoria, like she's done all season, she gets with the numbers.
But Aurora was the original target, right? They initially joined up to eliminate Aurora.
Yeah, but then Aurora won immunity. So I don't know if that's ultimately...
Because they all sat out.
Yeah, for
you pizza. Hate it when people sit out for pizza.
Do I?
Isn't that you? It's one. That's, it's a, yeah.
Well, that's are you confusing me with Jeff Probst?
That's it. That's what it is. Yeah.
If only Brett LaBelle could have been here tonight with us to talk about the pizza in Fiji, because I don't know what he thinks about it.
Well, and you got to think about this too, because you've got Lauren and Kelly, and you've got War Dog. They're all together. And that's a three that have basically played the same game since the beginning, right?
Yeah.
So as far as Ron and Julie are concerned, if they sit next to either of those three at the end, you've got two people that play the same as that game that you're up against. So you've got a great argument as to why those two played a worse game than you, essentially, because they played the same game. So they have to try to differentiate themselves from each other, whereas that third person wouldn't have to. So maybe they're thinking that the three isn't so bad because that's the same game all three have been playing.
I think it's so fitting tonight that we've talked about, well, how have David and Kelly been able to make it this far into the season? And Joe and Aubrey are gone.
Right.
And really, well, I think that what was protecting them was they were always gunning for each other.
Yes.
And so... With you can't take out David or Kelly because they're always going after each other. Mm-hmm. The other one's going to take the other one out. We don't need to do it. And then it was really protecting Kelly, I think, having David in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then once David went out of the game, wouldn't you know it, Kelly goes out next.
Yeah, it's a domino effect. I think it makes sense that it happened in that way, even though again. Sad.
Would you say, are they more like Professor X and Magneto? Are they the Man in Black and Jacob? Like they needed that they have like a symbiotic relationship, David Wright and Kelly.
So you think as soon as Magneto is defeated, Professor X is going to...
I don't know.
Yeah, okay. It's a tough one.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How do you extend this metaphor? Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right, Jessica, any other thoughts on David Wright and... He found an advantage. I thought this was maybe not so great. That David Wright, he found the advantage on the edge of extinction. He said, okay, now I'm going to use this because I need a friend in this game. I need to make a friend. If I'm going to come back, I need allies. So I need to send this advantage to Rick Devins.
Exactly.
No. Hold on a second. Like he wants his ally there when he gets back in the game. If he gets back in the game, he's going to need his ally to still be in the game. Like to send it. a, you know, like if he sends it to Wardog or Wentworth, like they're not going to care. If he sends it to Ron, Ron's not going to care.
Wasn't it weird though that we had earlier this season, Aurora gets a thing in her bag. She's like, oh, I don't know, maybe Aubrey sent this to me, maybe Joe, I don't know. Or then Aubrey earlier in the season, boy, somebody likes me at the edge of extinction.
Right. They started
Rick
signing
Evans,
them. Yeah, yeah.
It's, hey, my buddy David Wright gave me this.
Maybe David was the only one smart enough to autograph it, you know?
Maybe. I don't know. Did they change the rules?
It is interesting to me and sort of sad how, like, Edge of Extinction was pitched as, like, man against the elements, the ultimate test of endurance. And now it's kind of like a summer camp scavenger hunt.
Yeah. Send a gift to your friend.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. It is. Right.
Yes. By the way, there is a hidden item in this room, and you can give it to somebody who's not here. That's it. Okay. All right. Jessica, any words of encouragement to the David Wright fans out there? Lots of sad people.
Well, I'm just here to talk about David, apparently, because we're just on the first vote. But I would say this. There's a shot he could come back in the game, right? So we can be excited about that for David. And I hope he does. I truly hope he does. However, my winner pick was Rick Devens. So,
all right.
Oh,
hang in there. You know, okay.
Disloyalty.
I'm pretty happy for Rick right now.
All right. All right. So, all right. Thank you, Jessica.
I want to get welcome and thank you, everyone.
I want to get some more people up here to talk about Kelly Wentworth with us.
All right. Buy a poster. They're amazing. This guy's on it. All right. So, yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Sorry. Talk to Eric Rickenback about that.
Okay. All right. Great job. All right. Let's get some more alumni up here. I see. Yeah, Chrissy and Darnell are right over here. Yes. So we'll see. Okay. Chrissy Hopbeck is here. Okay.
Of course.
And then here's Darnell Hamilton. Get in here. Okay. All right. And by the way, we have our videographer here, Davey, on the Survivor Instagram tonight, a CBS Instagram. Okay. Chrissy, how are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. I did not know I was coming up with you tonight.
Why? What did you think?
I thought I was just hanging out in the audience with everyone.
Yeah.
It's a surprise to me.
Okay. All right. Well, you're here. Are you comfortable? Do you want to go back down?
No, I'm totally comfortable. I'm not sure if my hot takes will be like good.
Whoa.
Hot takes,
okay, no, we,
or like
this
hot
crowd takes. Loves hot takes. Although, this is Philadelphia. They boo.
Yeah.
They boo.
You can boo. It's okay.
Yes, okay. Darnell, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Do you guys recognize Darnell? Did you eat Scott Pollard? Darnell is in incredible shape now. Darnell is he's ready to go back.
Yes, first boots.
Yes. Okay. All right. Wait, now, Chrissy, you said you had hot takes. You have a hot take about Kelly Wentworth going out tonight.
Oh gosh, I feel like on the spot. Like
okay.
I should have a hot take about Kelly
that's fine.
Going
well,
out, but
no,
I
well, give us your hot take. If you have a hot take, we want to hear it.
I don't have any hot takes.
Oh.
Sad she didn't use her idol. I wish she weren't out of the game. I like love her right now. I'm sad about the whole
Was this the right move? Was it the right decision for anyone?
Well, there's a couple different pieces.
Right.
So let's start with Wardog.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Well, it was for someone, right? But like,
right?
Who?
Of course, it was the right decision for some. But I'm devastated by the decision, right? I wish that Kelly had known to use her idol and she were still in the game. But it is absolutely the right decision for those that are left in the game.
But is it the right decision for Wardog specifically? I think that's like the interesting question. Yeah.
So let's just talk about the point in the game. So now they're down to, was it 8 at that vote? No, it was
9.
It was 9. So it was 10 at the first vote and then 9 at the final 9 for Kelly Wentworth. Good time to make a move. Final 9.
Sure.
Now, they're feeling like if War Dog has been part of that three, and he talked about in the episode at like, we always vote together. You want to talk about loyalty? That me, Kelly, and Lauren, we always vote together. Every single vote, 8 times in this tribal council. Every single time, we always vote. And okay, they're like, all right, we get it. You guys always vote together. But I think that he, by him saying that all the time, like it really did set the stage for this blindside.
Right. I mean, there was that thing in the first tribal council, right? Or maybe it was the second one that their people are. Well, what did Jeff say? They're thirsty for blindsides.
Well, Ron tried to make the point like, Jeff, sometimes when these people get a taste of a blindside, it's like a dog when he gets a taste of blood, and these people just want more blindsides. Yeah. So I don't know. Is that a thing?
I kind of got the sense that was a thing. That War Dog has like now just taken out his nemesis, and now he's like, what's next? Like, how can I top myself now? You know? And I feel like I was there at one point in the game where I was like, we were just like doing things just to see if we could get away with them. You know? Were you ever like that, Chrissy? You're like, you know what? This would be a fun one. Let's go for that. And I kind of have the sense that War Dog is like so confident now that he's gotten rid of David. He's like, what would be the really impossible move? Let me try that one, because I don't know if it's actually a good move, but it definitely is a hard one.
Yeah, I mean, plus I think that War Dog recognizes that if he ends up in the final two with Kelly, she's going to beat him no matter what.
Yes.
So I actually think this was a very smart, as much as I hate the move, I think it was a very, very smart move of War Dog.
Okay.
I think it was a great move of War Dog.
Yeah. Okay. Darnell.
I just want to give credit to this cast. They're really good. To the simple fact that they're getting these threats out. Like, everyone thought, like, I'm one of the people at the beginning, like, what's going on? Like, why are you keeping these people? They're getting them out. Joe, they got Aubrey out. I mean, with idols and advantages, I mean, the level of gameplay that's going on out there to not use it to make them feel that comfortable. So
yes,
you have to give them that credit.
How did you feel Aubrey did this time out? Was she just unlucky?
I plead the fifth.
Okay. Darnell, I saw that you had said on Twitter that you were very unhappy with the people that raised the flag this season.
I was. I mean, being, you know, the first boot, a lot of these people, I can guarantee that everyone in here that's been voted out wish they had that opportunity.
Yeah.
I don't care what it was. I wanted to get back in the game. I wanted to see Pollard again. I would have been like, Reem, I'm here. What's up? What's good?
You were saying, come on, God, give me another chance.
Yes, give me another
come
chance.
Come on, God.
What's good?
Yes. Are you happy with how well Reem has done on the Edge of Extinction?
Absolutely. Yeah, I love it. Reem's Island.
Dude.
Reem's Island.
Yes. Darnell, did you think that the metaphor that was used at last week's Tribal Council about the shark and the minnow was that accurate?
No comment.
All right. Let's go back to War Dog, because I think that this was...
I'm sorry. Why we all love Rob Cesternino.
After Chrissy. Come on. Thank you. But I thought that this was really good how War Dog was able to do this. I guess the question is, and this is sort of like where I'm dazzled tonight, but next week, is this going to work out for War Dog?
But then it's not good if it works out tonight, but not next week.
We'll always have tonight.
Yeah.
We will always have this night.
No. This is where I think you get it wrong. It's not about one vote. It's about the, you know, it's a 39-day game.
No, it's only about this one vote. And then next time out, it's only about that vote. And you got to figure it out. You got to keep pulling a rabbit out of your hat.
Yeah. I want to pause it. And I think all season long I've been saying, like, why don't these idiots vote out the returning players? Like, they are so far, you know, they clearly have their experience. You can see it in the way they play. You can see it in the way they sniff out blindsides. Yeah, right, exactly, except for tonight. I do wonder if this is like too soon for War Dog. I mean, if who is left to be a target now other than War Dog? I mean, he's just gotten rid of David. He's just gotten rid of Kelly. I mean, and he had this tight group with Kelly and Lauren,
mm-hmm.
and that was protecting him, is that they had this voting block of three people who were always voting. Like, as War Dog repeatedly said, they always voted together. Now there's 8 people left in the game. Nobody has loyalties to anybody else except, you know, maybe Ron and Julie, although Ron and Julie voted on opposite sides and Ron's very concerned that, you know, Julie's going to feel betrayed, and we've seen what happens when Julie feels betrayed. And I think that, you know, War Dog now has, I think, lost a huge base of stability that he didn't have to lose this soon.
Look, this is a crazy season, and it changes every single week. So, logically, what you're saying makes sense. I just don't know if that's going to happen next time out.
But it changes every single week because they keep on destroying their own alliances. Like, if they didn't keep on voting out their own alliances, then it wouldn't change every single week.
Yeah. Now, that was a very interesting vote because it was a 5-4 vote, and it really came down to a couple things. Specifically, Ron and Julie did not vote the same because for some reason, I don't really understand why, Julie hates Aurora's guts. The only name Julie wants to hear at a tribal council is Aurora.
Because Aurora hates soccer moms.
Yes, she hates soccer moms.
Right.
And even in that challenge a couple of weeks ago where Lauren fell down, Julie was like, damn it, Aurora, shut up. Shut up. Nobody wants to hear from you right now. Can't you see? And she hates Aurora so much. And Ron Clark, her ally, her ride or die, couldn't even get her to not vote for Aurora. And then we have the moment in the episode, Aurora is going to then say to Ron Clark, echoes of Sierra Dawn Thomas Anglem. Will you hold on to my extra vote?
Wow.
Although technically, I think that Sarah Lucina did with the extra vote with Sari. Yeah. And then Sari tried to pull that move, but it was non-transferable. I guess this one is transferable.
Yeah, right.
Or maybe you could hold it.
Right.
Yeah. And Ron Clark was left with that decision. I really thought Ron was going to vote out Aurora there.
But what do you think? Do you think it's better to vote out Aurora and keep the extra vote or to keep Aurora and build trust with her?
I would keep her and build trust with her. I mean, especially for her. She's a challenge beast. She's going to have a big target on her back.
Yeah.
That's what he did. But I'm thinking that maybe he should have voted out Aurora tonight because he's able to, one, keep Julie happy because he gets rid of Aurora. And then, War Dog just voted for Kelly Wentworth. And so now we've got the circular firing squad happening again. You think Kelly Wentworth is going to be happy with War Dog after this? So now not only do you have the extra vote, You got rid of Aurora, who your ally doesn't like. And then also, now War Dog and Kelly Wentworth are fighting.
I think, like, an ally in your pocket is more useful than a piece of parchment in your pocket. You know, I think it's better for him to have Aurora as an ally than
But did he lose? Great. He has Aurora, but isn't Julie going to be pissed at him after that tribal council?
I'm sorry.
In my scenario, the person who's mad at him is going to the edge of extinction. In your scenario, the person that's mad at him is going back to camp with him.
But Ron breaks up the Lesu Three, right? Ron gets out this, like, huge alliance that's opposed to him. I mean, if you think it's good for a War Dog to vote out his own alliance in order to get out Kelly, surely it's good for, like, Ron to vote out the opposing alliance in order to get out Kelly.
But I don't know if War Dog could win the game with Kelly still there.
But you think so? I'm not convinced that this crew would vote for a returnee necessarily. I mean, they have been so anti-returnee, you know, in terms of their whole, like, all season long. I don't know that they would necessarily vote for one to win.
What do you think, Chrissy?
Yeah, I'm with you, Rob. I honestly think that if Kelly's at the end with War Dog, they're voting for Kelly.
Okay.
I think that War Dog needs to get Kelly out before the end of the game so that he can get credit for all of the moves and not have the credit go to Kelly.
Absolutely. War Dog, he had to get rid of Kelly. It's just no ands about that.
She's blocking him.
He should have to get rid of him.
Yeah.
You're the point blank.
Okay. All right. Chris, do you have any hot takes you want to say with us while you're here?
I wish I had, like, some good hot takes. I don't have any. I'm drawing.
All right, if you think of one, I want you to come back.
I will. I'll run back up on stage and give you hot takes.
How was dinner with Steven?
So I had dinner with Steven tonight. It was the first time I met Steven. Had, like, our big meeting tonight. It was
so fun.
Awesome.
It was great, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and my sister, too. I'm here with my sister, Ellen.
Yes.
So, yes.
That's what you guys are here for. We will tell you. We had wine.
Yeah, we did. We had wine. We had lots of fun conversations.
Did you talk books?
We did.
Yeah.
We did. We're both authors now.
Yes.
Well, let's just say, you know.
Yes.
I don't want to get ahead of myself. You're an author. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right.
Anyway, okay.
Chrissy, thank you. Thank you so much for coming out. Great to see you. Okay. Darnell, thank you, buddy. See you around tonight. Okay.
Later.
All right. All right, well, let's get some more people on this. Okay, Gabby, you ready? You ready? Yeah. All right. No, Gabby, who do you have chemistry with? Who do you?
Where's Davey?
Where's Davey? Is he on Insta right now?
Yeah.
Where is Davey? Davey Rickenbacker is here. Here, come sit over here so you're in the shot. You want to be on camera, Davey. Yes. We know this.
So I have a question for you guys. Do you think the War Dog... So everyone acknowledges War Dog is super aggressive. He's like super out there. He's super in people's faces. Do you think it helps him that he calls himself the War Dog? Like, do you think it makes him more of a cartoon?
Yes.
It helps him.
He is
and now, hold on. Now, you were feuding with the War Dog, but that's over.
There's no feud. I am unblocked.
You're unblocked. Give it up.
I was the only one that left at your block.
Okay, Chrissy Hoffbeck is blocked by the War Dog.
Chrissy is sole survivor.
Yeah, War Dog's just giving blocks out like Oprah.
Yeah, it does help him because he's this like bald-headed military guy with tattoos, and I don't think anybody knows that he's a law student, and he is really smart. And I think somebody said this in one of the early episodes that they were like, I think it was Kelly, and she was like, yeah, the thing is, War Dog's right. Like, he's really annoying about it, but he's right. Yeah. And I think that's, like, part of his strategy, and it is a good strategy because he is really smart, but then people are like, oh, he's so crazy. Like, he's just chaotic or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he is smart.
Yeah. Just to correct you, he's not a law student. He's a law school student, according to the Chiron. I don't know if any of you...
Yes.
Well, yeah, I really want to agree with Gabby there that War Dog, when it comes to strategy, I think he is the guy. Like, you guys all laugh at him in the challenges for sucking, but I think that's a part of his strategy. Like, do you really think that an Army vet's going to go out there and just suck in challenges?
Wait, you think it's intentional?
No, I think it's intentional, man.
I think it's just not that good challenge.
I don't know. He's like, he's taking it really far. Like, I can understand even throwing challenges in like the individual part of the game, but if he's throwing challenges in the tribe part of the game too.
We would get a confessional from War Dog.
Is that what you did?
Yes. I was throwing them. Yes. Yeah.
You should have invented that. Yeah. I threw all the challenges.
Well, that's what Philip would do, right? He would come back from a challenge he totally screwed up and then be like, I deliberately threw that because that was strategy. Yeah.
Davey, what did you think about going after Kelly Wentworth tonight for War Dog?
For War Dog, I didn't think it was the best move for him because, I mean, now he's going to be the prime target. For the rest of the players, I thought it was a great move for them. I mean, these guys are getting these returnees out of here. I mean, like Darnell said, you know, in the beginning, we're all like, what are they doing? Why aren't they getting them out of here? But, you know, you got to think maybe for
the... Stay on that microphone, Davey.
Sorry.
We don't want to lose you.
You know, maybe they got the feeling that they wanted to keep them in as long as possible just so that when they get them to merge, they can have votes for them from the jury, you know, making those relationships with returnees who respect gameplay, blah, blah, blah. And, yeah, I think that the players now are doing that job.
Now, Gabby, Final Nine is a fine time to make a big move, right?
Sorry, The Godfather.
Oh,
the
Godfather.
Final Nine was when
Cebu.
Sorry, Cebu. Neonce. Oh, are you allowed to do that? Be careful, Davey.
It was an unauthorized ring for people listening to the podcast by Davey.
The bell was rung. Yeah.
Bing. Final... Oh, Bing. That's
yeah,
for...
that was a Bing.
That's for The Godfather.
Final Nine is a good time to make a move because it's an odd number you're getting towards that end game. But I have to agree with Davey and disagree with the former people on the panel.
Okay.
I don't think it was a good move for War Dog.
Okay.
So I was complimenting. I was saying he's smart. I do think you need to eventually get rid of Kelly. And as someone who has been criticized for taking out an ally a move too early, I do think it was a move too early for him because... those three were really protecting each other. And I don't think, I think Davey said this, who's protecting the war dog now. Oh, yeah. I said the like, who's protecting war dog now?
But the thing about war dog that I actually really like as a player is that he's somebody where, yes, he was part of that alliance with Kelly and Lauren, but he's also somebody that there's any person on the show, you could see him have a one-on-one. Hey, can I talk to you? I want to get you in on this vote. And like, he'll work with anybody. And that you can't say that about everybody that's out there. And so if he is able to, like, he's always thinking ahead, and if he gets the sense that he's in trouble, like, he can put together a lot of different combinations of people.
Yeah, I want to pivot from criticizing him to praising him. I actually agree.
I actually think he's really good.
Yeah. I think it was too soon, but, I mean, look at the state of the game now. There aren't, like, when, you know, no offense, but when you guys made your move, you know, there was a whole other giant alliance there. Now there isn't really that, right? Like, there aren't really any allies left in the game except maybe Julie and Ron, and we don't know what the fallout from that is going to be, you know? Mm-hmm. Victoria isn't super tight with anyone. Gavin isn't super tight with anyone. Lauren's one major allies out of the game. And so you've got Julian, Ron, and, you know, and Aurora. And yeah.
Right. I mean, the people that are in this game right now, we have so many people that we have, like, no feel for what they're trying to do in Gavin, Victoria, Aurora, Lauren. That's half the people that are left.
Yeah. Yeah. You were about to.
Well,
sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, I got to give War Dog a little credit because there were two tribal councils, and I don't know how many of you noticed, but when Rick Devens called him out on the strong Let's Do 3, the next tribal council, he flips just to show them that I'm not Let's Do strong. Watch what I can do. So, yeah, I think that was a great move on War Dog.
That's a great point. It's like he was the other vote target that, like, the previous tribal council.
I also think it's very interesting with this cast and, you know, but especially these people that have been together for so long that I thought it was really interesting how War Dog and David Wright were talking about in that tribal council. Like, that's why I think David needs to go tonight. That's why I think War Dog needs to go tonight. And I feel like it's very odd to have that in the tribal council where you're saying, tonight, I'm telling you, I am going after this person. We need to vote out this person tonight.
Yeah, I think our cast used to beat around the bush a lot at Tribal, and Jeff would call us out on it sometimes. Maybe that didn't make air. But yeah, this cast is definitely going for each other right then and there. They're very ballsy, and I guess that's purposeful because, you know, the jury's right there. They want credit for these moves.
I wonder if part of it, too, is if they have all decided that Edge of Extinction is where the idols are coming from, and they've just seen what came from Edge of Extinction this episode because they saw that, maybe they're less worried that some other new thing is coming from Edge of Extinction.
I wondered that because, yeah, that's the reason for not saying someone's name at Tribal is because in case they have an idol, they're going to play it.
Right.
And so when you do a blindside, you never say that person's name. Like, War Dog didn't say anything about Kelly in the last one. But, okay, sorry, just to geek out for a second. But logistically, do you not think that none of them know that there's idols in the game? Because if Rick came back, how much do you think they chatted on the Edge of Extinction and then Aubrey's like, oh, I got sent home with an idol in my pocket. And then Rick's like, oh, and then he comes back and then he says that there's idols. Anyway, we won't know, but I think it's very risky to say the name of the person you're voting out at Tribal because you just don't know if they have an idol.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that Jeff brought up how we've only had one idol played in this game and one advantage played in this game. And it seems like that the players are thinking like, oh, maybe the idols are on the Edge of Extinction.
Is that a nudge? Like, we've only had one idol played so far.
Yeah.
Kelly. Yeah.
Right. Play it. I also think that Kelly hit on like 18, 19 too many times here with not playing her idol. Like, she could have got burned on the Joe vote. There was another time that that she was getting votes where she wouldn't have played her idol. And this was just like playing with fire too many times that she should have been playing her idol before. She was lucky to still have the idol to get blindsided with it.
Yeah, but David played it too soon. You know, if David had held on to it for one more vote.
Yeah. I knew he was going home when he was like, it would be really nice to have an idol tonight. And I was like, oh no.
Yeah. But I'd rather play it at the wrong tribal council than walk out of the game with it.
Yeah, I think you look smart when you're Kelly or Lauren and you're holding on to your idol and you don't need it and you get, I've been praising them like, wow, they have nerves of steel. But then it's like, if you get sent home without playing an idol and you have an idol, that's way worse in my opinion. I never judged Nick for playing an idol when he didn't need to. I was like, oh yeah, that's smart. Like, don't don't go home with an idol in your pocket.
Yeah. Going home with an idol in your pocket has to be like on the bucket list of things that you don't want. I guess it wouldn't be a, yeah. I guess it wouldn't be a bucket list then, but on the list of
the effort list. Yeah.
You don't want to not make the merge. You don't want to, you know, go home with an idol in your pocket. And yeah, Kelly and Aubrey. Sucks for them.
something to bond about. Okay.
So I have a quick question for these two guys. You guys have just both recently been on the jury, and you know that it's like a festering sinkhole of anger and resentment. What about that element of War Dog's move in terms of sending home Kelly, who's going to really resent him, right? Basically, they're sending her to Extinction, but really to the jury.
I think that Ponderosa and Edge of Extinction are totally different. Mm-hmm. I feel like when you get...
Dude, you think so? This ain't no Holiday Inn. What?
Precisely. So I think that when you make it to Ponderosa, you know, it's all hunky-dory. Everybody, we forgive you, blah, blah, blah. But then you make it to Edge of Extinction. You still have the opportunity to be in the game, and these people betrayed you. So, you know, yeah, I think that it's going to hurt War Dog in the end.
Okay.
That's not my experience at Ponderosa.
Can you expand?
Just people were very mad still.
Our cast was a love fest. But yeah. No, I think it's awkward the day you get voted out and then you talk to people. So, I don't know what the vibe is there. It's funny. I did notice that they're very much in game mode on Edge of Extinction. Like when David got the advantage, he like hit it.
Yeah.
And I was like, kind of who cares if you get it? I guess maybe if it's like an Aubrey advantage, you don't want to let them know, but...
I don't think they know what it is. It might be like,
This
is a chance, a better chance to get back into the game.
That's right, yeah. But it just struck me, like, I was like, he's totally in game mode still. Like, you could just see it on his face. Like, they're so invested. So, yeah, I...
Dude, wait till you're here for a month. You'll be checked out like the Holiday Inn.
She's great. Can we give it up for Reem?
Yes.
Yeah.
We need Reem at a live show.
Oh, my God. It'll happen.
Just, she could sing the know-it-all theme song. Smartest guys around. I'm going to have a breakdown, okay? All right. All right. Any other final... I'll ask you the Chrissy question. Any other hot takes you want to drop off here?
I want to talk about the people quitting the Edge of Extinction. I mean,
yes,
I kind of feel like, you know, they took it for granted. Like first of all, it's already a season where you have that second chance to get back in, and then to just, it's a quit. To just quit like that, I can't really respect it. Yeah.
And that's how I see sitting out for food, too. I've heard the arguments where it's like, you're not, if you really think you couldn't win this challenge, but like, you have 11 days left in the game. Yeah. Like, you can eat pizza late. Like, I would never
do that.
But
it's not about like it's not about just like the joy of eating pizza. Like, calories are a resource, right? And they can help your brain work faster.
But it's a resource to win immunity, and you're turning down immunity.
But you know what?
Pizza.
If you're going
to
sit out of a challenge, sit out for something more appetizing than a mountain of pizza. That's not a thing. Don't make that a thing, Jeff. There's no such thing as a mountain of pizza. Don't take slices of pizza and stack them into a mountain. That's not how pizza is made.
It's not appetizing at all.
A mountain of pizza. They do not have that on the menu here at Punchline. I guarantee you that.
Maybe that was a nod to Game of Thrones and the mountain.
The mountain of pizza.
Wrong podcast.
Yeah. Oops. Okay. All right. Davey, how was the Survivor Instagram tonight?
I think I really had fun doing the Instagram tonight.
Yeah.
I still need to get a few boomerangs from some past players. Chrissy, Wendell, where you guys at?
Boom.
Out there when you got a chance. But yeah, it was fun.
Okay. Davey's the man, okay?
There you go.
Gabby, thank you so much. Davey, thank you. Okay. I want to talk to Russell. You up for coming up?
Oh.
I want to talk to Russell Swan. Swan is here.
You have been...
I'm sorry to report that Russell Swan is dead.
No.
Buried on an island somewhere in Samoa.
Do you have a new name?
A zombie of Russell Swan showed up in the Philippines.
Oh, it's like Ghost Island. Russell, give me somebody else that's here. Who do you want to be up here with?
Oh, my OG, Jervis.
Where is he? It's like The Price is Right. Here he comes. Here's Big Jerv.
Oh, man, I got to have my OG up here. Yo, welcome to Philly, y'all. Just so y'all know, this is my town. And my people's is here. Wendell's over there. Bryce is over there somewhere. Russ is from Philly. Ramona's out here now. So we got a lot of people out here.
Representing.
Yeah.
What up, Rob? How are you, buddy?
My man, Sester Nino.
I've known this guy for a long time.
A long time. And Fishback.
Oh, yeah.
Hey. And Steven.
People ask me, have you ever been to Philadelphia before? I said, yeah.
I've been dying to do that. I'm sorry.
Go for it. One time, Jervis had a bowling charity event.
Yes.
And he invited me. And this is before GPS. That's how long ago it was. And I printed out directions at my house. And I drove down to Philly. I couldn't find it. And then I went home.
That was kind of messed up.
Wow. I couldn't find it. How did you want me to find
it? That is the worst excuse.
It was
I drove down there and then turned around. Yeah.
I swear to God, I spent the day.
We had cell phones then.
We had a cell phone, but I didn't have the number. Okay. This is a long story. All right. All right.
So both of you guys have been on returnee/new player seasons. You have been in the captain's position. You know how challenging it is. Like, what's the dynamic?
Yes. No, Russell can relate to these new players not having any respect for their returning players.
First of all, let me just say, I hate seasons with mixed newbies and returning players.
Yes.
I hate that.
Yes.
Sorry. I don't like it. Now, Jerv, correct me if I'm wrong. Your season, it was even, right?
It was even,
half.
Yes.
So, you know, so give the returners, you know, I just think it's a better mix. If you're a returning player, you know, they talk about all these advantages you have. You only have advantage if your tribe doesn't suck. Just saying.
It's a good point.
Sensitive about
it's a good point.
Just a little.
I mean, Lesu sucked, but I guess yeah.
But your tribe is famous. People still talk about Matt Singh all the time.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because every now and then Zane will reach out to me in some very interesting Zane-like way. Truth be told, once it's all done and I've freaked out and all of that kind of stuff, you really do love, you know, the people that you played with. So, you know, hats off to Malcolm, Denise.
Well, okay, so let me ask you,
Russell, let me ask
you about your first season.
Yes.
Because that there has been the comparison made that we have this group coming in, this Lesu group, had the chance to stick together, and we could potentially have had similar to the Galu tribe, which fell apart without you, then they went after Eric, as Steven likes to talk about repeatedly, at the merge, and then they fell apart. They had the numbers, and they couldn't make it work.
Right. So you can actually talk to Jerv about this, because he's definitely got a whole philosophy about this. But one of the things that I will say is that when you have, and that's why I think War Dog's situation is just really funky. I mean, you just don't, if you have an alliance and you have three people, if you even just have one person that you know you always got that go-to, you stick with that person because you're going crazy anyway. You're hungry, you're starving, but you know you got that one person you can always kind of check in with, have that vote. So in order to, you know, figure out how to like kind of keep yourself sane, you stay with that group. And you saw exactly what happened to Galu. They started like eating their own. They completely imploded. And, you know, none of them even had an opportunity to win, which is crazy.
But now Jervis and I have both had that one person, and that didn't work out well for either of us.
For the record, if I would have been on that jury, I'm sorry to report, I would have voted for Russell Hands.
Oh.
I take it. That's it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. This could be a blow to Natalie White's chances to return to Survivor. She needs all the help she can get right now, Russell. Okay. All right. Jervis, what do you make of all this?
Look. we're dogging. I mean, look, he's got to play. Everybody's got to play their game when you're out there. And it's so different when you're in the moment. When you're in the moment, what you see is not what everybody else sees, as we all know. Mm-hmm. So from his perspective, he's got to get rid of Kelly now, for it doesn't bite him in the ass later. But I would have kept her. I would have held on to Kelly.
Absolutely.
Like Russ was saying, if you have somebody that's your partner out there, you have to stay loyal to them, because as soon as you flip, why not get rid of you next? It's an easy vote. And it makes sense. And if you flipped on your partner, I know you're going to flip on me at some point in time. So mm-hmm. I have to keep who I know I can trust as long as I can in the game. And we all know you can't trust anybody. But the longer you're out there, you're building the trust, and you get to read your partner. It's just how the game is, I think.
And you saw that with the Coconut Bandits, right? I mean,
yeah.
You know, Jerv and Tyson, you know, they were, you know, a voting block for, and you know, you see how that worked out. I mean, so, I mean, now.
I mean, not that great for me,
but. Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
but,
not trying to.
You know, I'm sure that you heard, why didn't you vote out Tyson? Right. Why didn't you vote out Tyson? And that season was very similar, because you also had somebody was coming back, not from Extinction Island, mm-hmm. but from Redemption Island. So if you get rid of your group of three that you have safety there. Now you're also, once you get rid of your own person, now you're vulnerable. You had the numbers.
Right. And you know what? You do back yourself into a corner that way. And
yeah.
I got to a point, I'm like, I don't think I'm going to win this game right now. You know, mm-hmm. like I knew it was going Tyson's way. So my only option is to vote him out. But I'm like, if I vote him out now, I'm going out like eighth, something
right.
like that. And it's
right.
like, look, as long as you're in the game, you still always have a chance to do some work in there, even in the finals. You know, I need to come up with a great speech at the end to let him know why I deserve this more than Tyson.
And how do you wrap your head around somebody's coming back into the game, and how do you account for that?
That's tough, too, because we got rid of Laura Moret, and she was pissed. And it's like
but at her daughter.
Yeah. So you know it's like anybody else that's a good player. They're coming after you, so you have to
right.
be smart about that person when they come back into the game. And, again, you have to build your alliances up strong enough to, you know, I can trust them, and we felt confident. And talking about sitting out of food challenges, me, Tyson sat out because we're like, look, I'm not going to fuck home tonight. We all know that shit. Like, let's be real. I'm not going home, so I'm going to sit my ass out and I'm going to eat. Like, that's real talk. So that's what I did. You know? And if you feel confident, yes, sit your ass out and eat, because food is scarce out there.
Yes.
You got to grow when you can.
Word.
Yeah.
I like eating.
That it used to be a bigger deal. Like, Jeff would really ride people that sat out of right. the challenge. Now it's barely a blip on the radar. They don't even have time to get to that on the show.
Yeah. And Gabs, I got to disagree with you on that, too. Like, you know, even for immunity, look, if you know you're not going home, you're not going home. And you know, certain people know they're not going. The people that sat out knew they weren't going home tonight. That's why they sat out. So there's a yeah. confidence you have. Yeah, a blindside can always come, but, you know.
And can I co-sign?
Don't let that fool you, Gabby.
Word.
Can I co-sign on one thing? Can I co-sign on one thing that Davey said?
Yes.
Okay, now, as a person who was a returning player.
Yes.
And did not have an opportunity as a returning player to get back in the game. When I got voted out, I was gone and pissed.
Yes.
Still mad. not that we're saying anything there. But if you have this Extinction Island thing, you do not raise that flag. You stay there mm-hmm. until you either die or the game ends.
Yes.
I'm sorry. You do not quit.
Yeah. The only flag Russell Swan is going to wave is a terrible towel.
That's right. That's right.
I got to disagree with that.
No.
I don't understand that.
It's not a disagreeing, but I'm saying this. If you know certain people, you know yourself. You know you're not going to win this game. You know you got no chance of winning. You know you're not going any further. And you're suffering. Like, people really don't understand how hard this game is on your body, mentally and physically. The hunger and all that stuff. When you hit that limit, you know. And if you know, check out. Yeah. Raise that flag. Go to Ponderosa. Kick your feet the fuck up and chill. Woo! You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, that's what you do. And again, I wouldn't quit. And I get it. I would tell them, don't quit. But if they want to leave, I'm like, bye. That's one less person I got to fucking worry about.
Okay. Oh, yeah. If you want to quit, go ahead. Yes. I mean, yeah. Yeah. I don't care. Okay. Bye.
All right. Anything else you guys want to get off your chest?
So I just want to say that, you know, Survivor is a beautiful, beautiful, crazy, beautiful experience. And I think the thing for me that made it the most beautiful is I had this really weird, dark arc at the end of this whole Philippines thing. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that, like, when I went back the second time, my wife really didn't want me to go. Mm-hmm. But it was so in my blood, I basically said that I don't care.
Oh, yeah.
And that's horrible, like, right? So the first time I played, I had her blessing. The second time, I really didn't. And so to go back and, like, have that kind of a showing, that kind of sucked.
Yeah. And then what was your wife like when you came home?
I spent a lot of time on the couch. Yeah.
Like, I told you not to go.
But I want to say to the Philadelphia fans, yeah, you are fantastic.
Yes. All right.
Work.
All right. Let's give it up for Russell Swan and Jervis.
Yes, Cecil.
Thank you.
All right. Where's Wendell? Where's Wendell? Wendell, come on up here. Give it for Wendell. We need to talk to Wendell. Wendell, who else you want up here?
Who do I want up here? Bryce Isaiah, let's go, buddy. Okay.
All right, come on up here. Okay, come on up here. Give it up for Bryce and Wendell. They did so much work to get this show here in Philadelphia. How great does Bryce look tonight?
Little old me, Robert? Me?
Yes, yes. But
I got to say real quick, Robert, I'm just feeling like with that in the background, I'm really feeling like we at like Winterdelphia. You know, I'm just feeling real, I'm feeling real, you know, Queen Daenerys tonight.
Oh, you know, winter is coming.
We definitely have the hound over there.
The hound.
But, you know, if definitely.
Better than a mountain of pizza.
If it's Queen Daenerys, I think I need my hand. Can you crown the queen real quick?
Okay. All right, so we have. Sharia.
Winterfell.
Sharia is here.
Yes.
Here.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Here.
Wow, thank you.
Here, Sharia, stay. Okay, bring over that other chair.
Come on, God.
Come on. All right. Wendell, I want to ask you something with this season, because one of the things that we've heard from this cast was that they watched your season in, not only did it end, but I think they were watching it at Ponderosa before they played. And I think that it was a thing of like, hey, look, Laurel didn't make a move. You guys need to make moves when you're out there.
I was thinking that. Yeah, I believe during pregame they saw our finale. They couldn't talk to each other, but they were able to watch. And watching a season like mine, me, Dom, Laurel, getting all the way to the end, I think I kind of saw a little bit of me and Dom and kind of Wentworth and Wardog. Mm-hmm. And it's like, do you make that big move?
Yeah.
When do you make that big move? And Daniel the War Dog decided to make that move.
Yeah. Let's say hi to Sharia here.
Hey!
Sharia, how are you? We're so happy to see you.
I'm so happy to be here. I'm great.
Sharia, what do you think about all this?
Well, I think, first of all, it took me a minute to get into the season, right? I think I told you after merge is when I feel like I get to know people. But I'm kind of like, you have to make your move when you have the chance because you never know when you get that chance again. So War Dog had to do what he had to do. But I kind of agree, like, I don't like having the returning players with the newbies. Like, we need our own thing if it's going to happen. That's just my take because you know they want to get you out, right? But I'm surprised it took this long. I'm surprised. Come on, Diva.
Say, I'm feeling real Debbie right now. I'm mad,
Diva.
Okay. I don't play about my Kelly with an E, okay? You know I'm seeing Wentworth all day. So I chillay.
Did you say to David Wright when he was out there on the edge of extinction and got the clue, what you looking for?
Excuse music.
Yes, I'm just was so upset, but I figured, you know, they probably have a couple of DVDs out there for him, so he'd be all right.
on his DVD shelf.
Wendell, I have a question for you. So if you were the Wendell and the Dominic, how do you stop the Laurel from flipping on you? You know, like, because all this season, we see them reacting to, maybe, you know, probably reacting to what you guys accomplished, where they, you know, every time, like, every vote, the smaller alliance has sort of flipped on the bigger alliance. What, like, how do you play your game and control that?
It's a very good question.
Oh, you don't want to give anything away, I see.
No.
Yeah. Sharia, could you answer that question?
I mean, I feel like, I don't know, first of all, there's not really any alliances, right? It changes every vote, right? But I think you have to, you got to play with the people in the moment who you know are going to look out for you. That's just what it is, right? I said before, you don't know when you're going to have this chance again. Do what you got to do.
I say, yeah, I agree. You think about that very vote and you stop with the long-term game in this particular instance as a reaction to me and Dom playing. It's like, all right, this alliance stayed strong the whole time. So everyone saw that. So what do we do now? It's like you look at that vote. What saves you? Kind of the Sandra Diaz Twine thing. It's like, what's anyone but me right now? That's what we're going to do. What gets me past tonight? So I think that and like voting blocks and changing your alliances, it has to be kind of more of a flux as opposed to sticking with your alliance the whole way.
I feel like that this is the most unpredictable season. It's just been every single week, every vote, it's a different group of people, and it's very hard to follow. I mean, I hate boring Survivor. This might be a little too crazy in terms of it's fun to watch the episode, but in terms of like talking about it on the podcast for a week, it's like we don't know anything.
Yeah, and because it is like so much based on those individual relationships that we don't really see through the TV screen. Like, you know, we have no idea what War Dog's relationship is with Victoria, you know? So like, which has to play into like why he feels comfortable flipping on Kelly, you know? So, but like, how do we know?
But shout out Victoria. Cause I love me some Victoria. I feel like she's such a, Victoria is like, I want to say like a redheaded snake in the grass because she,
one heavy snake.
Oh, wait, we talk about snakes. Send me to the exile, edge of extinction.
Dude, it gets old.
I don't think so. Not with them stingrays out there, I hear. Underwood. Ooh, sorry, I get a little hype, so I get hype. Sorry.
Oh, Bryce.
Okay, sorry. Anyway, sorry, back to Victoria. Victoria, no, seriously, I really think Victoria's gameplay is, like, amazing right now. The fact that she's able to, like, switch it, talk to somebody, like, we're going to do this, Robert. We'll do this. And then, Fishback, this is what we're doing. And then, like, execute it. And the fact that she's not on the radar, like, why has her name not come up? But, I just love me some Victoria.
And Bryce, can you believe Aurora is still in the game? All they want to do is get rid of Aurora. She's still here.
Listen, I'm on this challenge tonight. I ain't going home, David. I was like, oh, okay, Aurora. I see you.
Wendell, what did you think of the Ron Clark with the decision that he had to make tonight about potentially voting out Aurora after she let him hold the advantage? I thought that she put herself in more danger by doing that. Like, it's a move. It's like, I'm going to buy safety. I'm going to give somebody my advantage to hold. And it puts you in more danger. That's crazy.
We've seen it happen.
Yeah.
Game changers, right?
Yeah. Well, so
Sarah Lucina got it from Sierra.
Right. I think that was actually the legacy advantage that I think that was that the one that Dominic ended up having in your season, I think.
I think so.
And then Sarah tried to do the same thing with Sari. Here, hold my extra vote. And then Sari tried to vote out Sarah with it, but it was non-transferable.
Keep it cute, Rob Young.
I take no pleasure in this, Bryce.
So it's very risky on Aurora's behalf. I don't know if I would have made that move. That put so much power in Ron Clark's hands. And Ron Clark, you know, you got to be wary of that guy, you know? So I think it was a very risky move on her behalf.
If you were in Ron's position, would you have voted her out? You would have voted her out.
I would have voted her out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to vote her out. Yeah. Put her on. Yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like that Julie and Ron, I don't know how they work together now after they didn't vote together, and Julie hates Aurora so much.
But the game is weird now. It's like these people are working with each other and alliances are breaking, and mm-hmm. it's a strange game right now. It'll be interesting to see how it goes.
Sharia, who's going to win?
Well, I think that Aurora's going to be in the top three.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been calling it. Something about her that she, I don't know. I know people don't like her, but her name keeps coming up. But she's going to be in the top three. But you made a good point, though, earlier. I think that we don't
go
get to
on.
See the relationships.
Yes.
We don't get to see the relationships that people are building this season as deep as in the past. And it's called an olive branch. That's what they're giving, right? I'm giving this olive branch, and I don't know how you're going to use it, but I need you to trust me. So that's what I think is happening. But yeah, Aurora's going to be in top three.
Okay. I think that was part of why Julie didn't like her, which I think Julie had a confessional where she said, you know, Aurora's going to be in the top three, basically that. And I think it's, you know, it's some, as you get closer to that finals, like the temptation to keep the goat around just like grows and grows. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. We're starting to run out of time. You guys have anything else you want to say?
Thank you for coming to Philly. We so hyped that y'all here, Robert.
Okay. Well, we've had the best time. We had so much fun last night. Okay. Russell Swan is here we go. We're on Russell Swan's Insta, maybe. Okay. All right. Thank you, Wendell and Bryce. Thank you for getting us out here. Sharia, everybody. Okay. All right. We're starting to run out of time, so here's what I want to do. If you've got a question, and if it's a good one, because we don't have time for bad questions tonight, come on over here. And then, well, here's what I want. On what we're going to start to consolidate a little bit here. Okay, let's get Kevin and Rodney. Come on up. And I need Alexis and Desi also. And Steven, you sit on my lap, okay? Okay. All right. Yes. Get over here, Rodney. All right. All right. Yeah. I wasn't expecting Rodney to be so warm. Yeah.
Oh, I'm on fire.
He's on fire.
I'm on fire with these shots.
All right.
I'm really not sitting there.
I gotta rethink this. All right. Let me. I'll hover behind Steven.
No, go on. I'll stand. You sit down.
Okay.
We all stand.
All right. We'll all stand. Yeah. All right. First off, let me say hello. First off, Desi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Second time in Philly, but so far it's been a great experience.
Okay. And Alexis Maxwell is here.
Hi.
Alexis, we follow your live tweets of the show
Thank
so closely.
You so much. That's my favorite.
You are
day of the week.
You are so prolific. Yeah, I know you've loved this season. It's been crazy.
Yes. I agree. I'm finding it hard to follow right now, but live tweeting, I don't really have a strategy with it. It's literally any thought that comes to my head goes on.
So we're so happy you're here. There's been a lot of War Dog is Tony comparisons. Do you see it?
I don't see it. I think he's got the same energy, but in a different way. Tony was like War Dog on drugs.
Desi, there's been a lot of War Dog is Joe Mena comparisons. Is he?
I think it would be disrespectful to my boy Joe, because I love Joe. I know he's the reason I got voted out, but I love Joe. It would be disrespectful to Joe to say that War Dog is Joe Mena.
Oh.
There's no competition.
He's not on Joe's level.
I don't think he's on Joe's level.
Okay.
But I'm biased.
All right.
But I love Joe.
Rodney, is Joe Anglim getting back from the edge of extinction?
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah! Yeah.
What, if it's a challenge, Joe is winning it. I promise you that.
Yes.
I mean, socially, you know, we'll not talk about a social game, but physically, Joe is a savage. He's okay. Getting back in.
Rodney, what is going on with Joe's hair? Like, it seems to grow faster than any human hair.
How about we talk about the mustache he got growing?
Yeah,
he got the little, what's that called? Colonel Sanders mustache?
Rodney, are you going to be in the bridal party for Joe's wedding?
I mean, Joe texted me right when before he's about to propose, and he said, I'm off the market. And he sent me a picture of Sierra with her hand, and her hand's huge, with the huge ass ring on that bad boy. And listen, it's so funny because we traveled across the entire country together. Like, they went straight from the Rodney Bowl to Hots of Reality, yeah. And they always flirted. And I'm like, you two love each other. I'm like, no, get out of here. You're stupid. And now they're getting married, and it's a beautiful thing. And if I'm a part of the wedding, which I think I'm going to be. I mean, if you're sending me the text, right?
Sounds like a promise to me.
Right. So it'll be crazy. A little dirty 30 action up there in the wedding. It'll
okay.
be fun.
All right. And we're very excited to have this guy here with us tonight. From Big Brother 19.
Excuse me. Is this a Big Brother party?
Yes.
Tonight? I mean,
Kevin Schlegel.
I never watched Big Brother. So you're going to hit it again. So I never watched Big Brother, so I really, Survivor, is it tonight's Big Brother party? Or
it's both. It's both.
It's a little bit
yes.
of both.
Well, yes, if you watch The Amazing Race, it's both.
I love Philly. And listen, and Philly, I was told, I was leaving Boston, I was coming out, and a friend of mine from Philly, and he said, when you get to Philly, listen, they're really Big Brother fans. And I thought they were just, you know, they always say that everywhere you
they
go.
They call it the
so
city of Big Brother
love.
I get off in Philly,
and these girls are Villanova shirts. They come running over, and I was like, I thought I owed them money or something. I was like, hey, what's going on? And they were like, you Kevin from Big Brother? And I said, of course. I mean, I'm 6'3". I'm walking around. What do you mean? Of course, yeah. And so they were like, oh, we love Big Brother. So when I get down here, Philly's been great. It's really, really nice now.
Yeah.
Really nice. I love Philly.
Now,
and I love Wendell and Bryce, I love you guys. Everybody here, I love them all. They're having a great time.
Is it true that you and Rodney are campaigning for the reality star Amazing Race 2?
Yeah, no, they absolutely. What do you mean campaign? What, you can't handle it?
No, talking to the mic.
No,
they wouldn't be able to handle that, trust me. There'd be too much explicit bleeps, bleep, bleep every 2 seconds. You doing, mother?
Yeah, no, so we went to the store the other day, and we ordered some food, and the lady was like, what the hell did they say? And they were like, you don't even pronounce your R's in the words. You just say car. There's no R. And I'm like, what do you mean? Doesn't everyone talk their way? And they were like, no one talks their way, just you guys.
Okay.
But no, I don't know if they'll have
and
us on.
Also, Kevin, that we have you here in person. Kevin, who has beat prostate cancer.
Yeah. Thank you.
Give it
Thank
up for
you.
Kevin.
Thank you.
So nice. So nice to see you here. Yeah, so nice to have you here with us in person.
So I mean, what happened is on a Sunday night when you get a call from the doctor and you're watching a football game and it's a number that you don't know and it's like, oh, maybe I owe that number some money or something. I'm not picking it up.
Yeah.
And then when you pick it up and the doctor's like, hey, Kevin, how are you doing? I'm like, holy shit, man. This ain't good news. I know that. You know what I mean? So, yeah. But everything's going good now. I beat it. I'm in recovery. Which takes years.
Yes.
But I mean, I'm doing fine. I mean, it's really wild. I went from being in obscurity, which I thought in Boston I was cool, but I wasn't as cool as they thought, to being on a show and then having cancer. But now I'm fine. Everything's cool.
It's so great to have you here with us,
Thank
Kevin.
Thank you, man. Thank
All right.
you, guys.
All right. Let's get a couple of questions real quick. All right. Real quick. Come up here. Come on over. Climb up here. Hold on. Kevin, stand on my microphone wire.
No,
all right,
actually,
real quick.
I'm actually.
Okay.
Yes. Hi. So my question is, hi.
That, what's your name?
Mary. I'm the one that was stalking you on Twitter for tickets.
Okay, yes. And you're here.
Yeah.
Great. Good stalking.
Thank you. It was successful. So Kelly, first thing she said is that Lauren has an idol. Do you think that there's any way that, even though they're not allowed to, that they can kind of give the signal to those still in the game that...
Okay, that's interesting, because this is the jury now, and so can somebody be wink, wink, yeah, play your idol. Desi, you have any thoughts on that?
I think it could certainly happen, yeah. It would piss off Jeff, and he'd stop tribal council, and he'd, yell out a bunch of expletives
you'll
never see on TV, but they can't stop you, right? And so there would be times during tribal council that Jeff would literally be like, shut the F up, because he gets really upset when you're trying to interact in the
game. But if Jeff is like, all right, now does anybody want to play the idol? Like, you could give a head nod to somebody.
I could get a coughing attack.
Kelly herself could do it, but I mean, she wouldn't know necessarily that
it's directed towards her.
Yeah, yeah. She wouldn't. Unless she has a great read from the tribal council, and maybe by tonight, maybe she doesn't.
We had someone on our jury who shouted out in the middle of tribal council what the jury was thinking about who was a threat and who was not a threat. And Jeff did not like it.
Which season?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Which season?
I learned on 31. I learned new words that evening. Yeah.
Yes. All right. All right. Thank you, Mary. Okay. All right. All right. We got time for maybe one, maybe two. Come here. All right. Corona.
Yes. Hi. So, I have a quick question about Ron. Tonight we saw him in the swing vote twice, Do you think he can continue to play the middle this way, or is he going to get caught?
All right, Alexis, can Ron keep playing the middle? I love playing the middle.
So, I think right now he actually got into a better place by getting to the bottom for a hot sec, because he was riding too high for a while. I think he can play the middle up until getting to the final three. I think that people are going to have their eyes open right before then, and he's going to have a tough time making that jump.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Zvi, real quick. Get over here. Here's Zvi.
I'll be quicker than I've ever been. War Dog is a very divisive character. If he manages to get his way to the end, do we think he could get votes?
I think he could. I think he could now. Kelly's not there. I think that he has a good rapport with people. I don't know if I'd pick him to win. I think that he can do it.
No, I think he's going to be that third person that gets zero votes.
Oh.
I think so.
I disagree. In my opinion, I believe very strongly in this. For whatever reason, people try to get out the physical threats first, but the physical threats never win the game of Survivor. So the fact that they allow him to make it this far as a very good strategic threat, I think if he makes it to the end, it's kind of like Ben. He wins the game.
Okay. All right. I got to give one more question to John here, who is a Mets fan.
Let's go, Mets! Yeah! Quickly, these players are very focused on moves, blindsides. There's not a lot of social play here. Other than War Dog and Rick, there's really no... Could we end up having a winner? You know, we just had Wendell, who had an amazing social game. Nick had an amazing social game. Adam Klein, amazing social game. Could we end up a winner with no social game whatsoever in this season?
When Joe comes back from Edge of Extinction, yeah.
It's possible. I also think that the social game is very hard for us to read from what we see on the game. And that was one of the complaints that Mike White and Kara had last season of, hey, we played social games and you didn't see a lot of us on the show because everything was strategy and idols and advantages. And so it's very hard to show the social game. So we might find out after the season that there were people that had a great social game that just weren't in the show. So it's hard to tell. Okay. All right. And last question.
Yeah!
Okay. We gotta get out of here. Okay.
One thing before I start, since we're in Philadelphia, go Birds. And then since Ron still has his advantage, he said in a secret scene that he was going to cut off the bottom, that it was going to last only three tribal councils. I'm wondering what effect that might still have on the game, that he could have three possible advantages that he could threaten other people with. I'm wondering what your thoughts might be on that.
Now, he said it in a secret scene, and that wasn't in an episode, so it makes me feel like that we're not going to see it on the actual show. But... That's why I don't think that we're going to see it. So if this was the voicemail podcast, we could explore that more. But okay, all right. What's your name?
I'm Luke. But go Birds. Yeah.
All right. Go Birds. Okay.
Go Pats.
Okay. All right. Could you be real quick? Okay. All right. Okay. And then give me, where's Dr. Amanda Rabinowitz? We need to talk about the, come over here. Yes.
All right. So I'm Bailey from Dallas, but am still an Eagles fan. So we heard the return of the pilots versus passengers metaphor tonight.
A lot.
And we heard Julie talking about she's the pilot of her own small passenger plane. So is it better to be a pilot of a small passenger plane or a passenger of something like a MAX 8 that could crash and burn but might get to its destination? Probably.
Where's T-Bird? Yeah.
That's a really good question. I don't know. I kind of think you want to be the, of those two, I think you might want to be the pilot of the small passenger plane and hope that you end up with two passengers of the bigger plane in the final three. No? I don't know.
I think you want to be a flight attendant.
Yeah.
Yes. You know? That's good.
It's like halfway there. You're not the star of the show, so you're not a target, but you're contributing to the success of the flight.
Desi, you agree?
Yeah, I was just going to say, somebody else is responsible for opening the emergency exit. So
yes,
flight attendants are just
careful.
There.
All right. All right. We're gonna have Amanda is gonna tell us where we're gonna go next. Hold on, let me wrap. Let me be the pilot and try to land this thing. Thank you guys so much for coming out to see us. This was a really fun live show.
Yeah.
The time flew by. We really appreciate everybody that traveled to be here with us, that took time out of their busy lives to come out and watch Survivor and talk about it with us. So it's so nice to get to see everybody in person, and it really means a lot to us that you guys come out and support us doing crazy things like this. So thank you guys.
And one last thing, please give it up for Rob Cesternino, who created this crazy empire, brings us together, and is reliably wrong every week.
Thank you, Stephen Fishback, the knowingest know-it-all. All right, so we've got a lot to do as well on the podcast as well. Hannah Shapiro is going to be my guest on Saturday. She's going to be in the studio. We're going to talk about David Wright. We're going to talk about a lot of different things. We're going to talk to Ali Lasher this week as well.
Who?
Ali Lasher. Yeah. Oh. Ali Lasher. Yeah. Okay, and we still have a lot to do here tonight. Here to talk about where we're going to be going after this show, Dr. Amanda Rabinowitz.
Hello? Yes. So, everyone, the after party is at Frankfurt Hall. It's the address is 1210 Frankfurt Avenue. It's right north of Girard Street. It's about an 8-minute walk from here. So it should be pretty easy to get to. And remember to have your IDs. They have reminded us that they will card. Okay. Hope to see everybody there.
Okay. And I also feel like that I can speak directly to the patrons of Rob as a podcast, because I think that you're the only people that were able to buy tickets to this thing. So make my heart shake. Thank you. Thank you all so much. So nice to have you guys all here. Steven, anything else?
That was it. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks again for Bryce and Wendell getting everybody.
Bryce and Wendell, baby.
Get all the momentum for the Philadelphia know-it-alls. We did it. Thanks to everybody here at Punchline. You guys were great. And we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.